Sportsnation.com.
Today, our task agenda has been received by the Malaysian Rescue Coordination Center. We will be searching an area of about 2,700 square nautical miles.
We're doing another SAR flight west of Indonesia today. Call sign is Rescue 71.
Where, oh, where is that 777? One of the big questions and the buzz in backyards all over the place. This is America Tonight. I'm Kate Delaney. How you doing? This is absolutely the most mysterious thing that's happened in a very long time. And there is no end to conspiracy theories, possibilities, and conversation over Flight 370. The reality of the investigation is this has been now well over a week into the second week. You have a missing plane, and you've got a couple of scenarios that are pretty wild, but pretty plausible in a sense, too. What is the take on the pilot and the co-pilot and their possible roles in this? How do you find a plane that went missing an hour after takeoff that clearly was off the radar and could have easily cruised to an altitude where the passengers would have been rendered unconscious, which would explain why no cell phone calls? This is a question people keep asking. How come nobody called? If there was a frenzy, if there was a fight, if there was a hijacking that was in the face of a people, why wouldn't there have been some sort of response? So they're searching. They're looking at their assignments, the U.S.'s, as are the other countries, and taking whatever role they can to try to figure out where this plane could possibly be, where it could have perhaps landed, where it could have perhaps crashed. As I said, there is no shortage of theories as to this missing 777. And the longer it goes on, and the more the possibilities start to twist out there, I think the less we actually really know. And there are, I think, there is information that's being withheld, too. So do we really have all the facts as they comb through the passenger list? I don't think so. And, you know, the U.S. Navy ship quit the search for the airliner, the one that was part of the hunt, because they felt like, the Malaysians felt like, well, this isn't a good use of this, of the Navy 7th Fleet. It doesn't make any sense. They're not coming up with anything. So they dropped out of it. They determined that long-range naval aircraft is much more efficient for looking for the plane or the debris because they've broadened into the southern Indian Ocean, which seems more likely. So then you've got surveillance aircraft and all of that that's part of this search. And instead, the USS Kidd, the destroyer that was out there, goes back to whatever the normal duties were, and they won't be part of that search anymore. Missing more than a week, no debris, no wreckage. Looking for possible terrorist possibilities and explanations of why the plane fell off the way that it fell off. Conversations between the Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel and the Malaysian Minister of Defense, who seems to me discombobulated and trying to appease the people who are pulling in all different directions, including the families, by the way, of the people who were missing on the flight. I mean, did it plunge to avoid radar detection? Was that part of the, is the part of the possibility of what happens here? And as I said, climbing up high, to knock the people out, which would make sense, because then you have no risk that, I mean, if the passengers revolting and trying to take over the cockpit or, you know, whatever. And then you have these people in these villages northeast of Malaysia that say they saw bright lights. And all the aviation experts agree that passengers would have felt it plunging if that had happened. If they were being hijacked and it plunged to 5,000 feet and used a low altitude, a maneuver to avoid radar detection, they would have been able to know that versus the other thing for climbing and just completely knocking them out. And I'm telling you, I have looked at this for hours and hours and listened to all the theories. And depending on who you listen to, especially somebody with a lot of flight time and experience on these planes, I swear you walk away and you almost believe whatever it is that they're feeding you at that particular time. And then something else, some other twist comes in from left field. I think that there's information that's being withheld. I think that it is a true possibility that the plane could have landed on the water because it's very smooth right now, as it's been reported. And maybe the pilot and the co-pilot got off. I mean, who knows? And then there's going to be some film that pops up all of a sudden. It's pretty interesting that now these reports of these bright lights streaking overhead, and is there something else there that we haven't heard either? But either way, it seems to be a doomed aircraft, and it turned north instead of continuing on the flight pattern where it was. So what does that mean? What does it mean? I think we're going to be talking about this for quite some time. I don't know that we're going to unravel this mystery even by the end of the week. It probably pushes into another week after this. All right, in the meantime, something on the minds of a lot of people is let's be done with the snow. So we take a turn from a possible hijacking and a giant 777, where, by the way, a few Americans were on board, to let's get out the shovels one more time. Particularly in the capital, it was ridiculous. Over 7 inches of snow. People's cars were buried on the streets. The city pretty much came to a standstill because of the amount of snow. In the mid-Atlantic states, all the way up and down, also slammed, some with just more of a dusting than what Washington, D.C. Received. But it was pretty rough. The final punch, they're hoping, shut down schools and federal offices. And, of course, what happens? Flights are canceled, so people coming in and out of the Capitol, you know, they're not going anywhere. They're not able to make those flights because it was that bad. It was so backed up. And having been in Washington this time of year, I know it can get super cold, but the snow is the thing. The snow dragging out as long as it has. Stay with us. Coming up next on America Tonight, we're going to mix in some other things that are happening closer to home here on ATN. Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment
moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Great place to go and hang out if you're ever in Texas, Austin, Texas. A third person dead as a result of that driver that plowed in a rapper into people at the festival. What happened was, apparently, he was being chased by police and went through an intersection and slammed into the crowds, refused to stop for an officer who tried to pull him over, and unfortunately, the people who happened to be there at the time, and there were a lot, 23 people were initially hospitalized. Some had a whole bunch of internal injuries. So now, you know, here we go. Sandy Fu Lee, just 26 years old, is the latest one who died Monday morning because of the injuries after she was struck in that crowd when the car plowed into that group last week. And they say the guy who did it was a rapper, Rashad Owens, and it was not pulling over, wouldn't pull over. So he was charged last week with two counts of capital murder. Now you can throw something in the mix here. He was at the festival while he was, they say, trashed, and that's part of the reason why pulling over, that's why he kept going. Most of the people who were hospitalized and the victims of this were in their 20s, so a grand jury is going to determine whether he's going to face any more charges. Because of the third death, I think there will be another one, but what a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. We move from that to some other, as I call them, odds and ends, things that are happening in the U.S., and this is a crazy thing out of Nashville. Somebody actually told me about this the other day, last week, that they were making such a fuss about it, and what they're saying is if it isn't fermented in Tennessee from mash of at least 51% corn, and it's not aged in new charred oak barrels, stay with me on this one, it's not filtered through maple charcoal and bottled at a minimum of 80 proof, they say it's not Tennessee whiskey, so there's a year-old law that is almost to the letter the process used to make Jack Daniels, which of course is probably one of the best-known whiskeys in the world, but certainly the world's best-known Tennessee whiskey. And they say the state lawmakers are considering dialing back some of the requirements so they can make it too difficult for craft distilleries to market their spirits as Tennessee whiskey, which, of course, is booming. There's a booming American liquor business, especially whiskey, couldn't be bigger right now. So the people behind Jack Daniels think that this is something more sinister, that there's a competitor at work here, a British conglomerate that owns another Tennessee whiskey made 20 miles or so up the road, and that they're trying to weaken the title on the label, and they're pushing to do that, but Jack Daniels says, hey, we've worked hard for that. And if it's Tennessee whiskey, we want it to continue to be made that way. Interesting. Because here you have this competitor, they're pushing in the one direction, and then you have Jack Daniels, which is crazy, what I read you, the requirements for Tennessee whiskey. 51% corn, charred oak barrels, filtered through maple charcoal, bottled, 80 proof. That's pretty stringent. So there really would, how many competitors would be able to live up to that? I mean, Jack Daniels last year sold 11.5 million cases of black label last year, a 5% jump from 2012. On the other hand, Dickel, which is part of this British conglomerate, which would be the second largest Tennessee whiskey producer, sold 130,000 cases in 2013. Boy, there's a big difference there between those two. So they're fighting it, saying the strong arm of Jack Daniels is being very unfair. Wow. Interesting, huh? Because they'd have to up their way of making it, I suppose. The lottery is sky high again. People keep track of these things and send me emails about it. So Mega Millions is up over 400 mil again. Something like that, close to it. So that means people are going to be running out in droves to try to get tickets. And I saw this story about a Georgia man who won the lottery with his late wife's special numbers. How interesting is that? He would occasionally play the lottery using the numbers. His wife passed away from lymphoma cancer in December, so he played the numbers every night for 3 months, and then he hit it. He hit the lottery, so he won just over $77,000. He saw the lottery numbers, the ones that she played again and again and again and again. They had significance because they were her birthday and the day they got married and that kind of stuff. And he said it was kind of a strange, special, emotional sort of moment because he was playing them, remembering her. I don't know. I think that's pretty cool, actually. I mean, what were the odds of winning. The odds of winning were like 554,000, something like that. Georgia put the number out for what he won. But that's a nice little paycheck, right? 77,000. Nothing like Mega Millions, however. The Mega Millions, like I said, it's climbing up high, so that's going to be part of the conversation. Just get ready for it during the day. Mega Millions, and if you're going to chip in or not, if somebody in an office is buying a whole bunch of tickets. How about this? And certainly we salute these people. The president giving Medal of Honor to 24 vets from three wars. He's moving to right, they say, old wrongs by belatedly awarding the Medal of Honor to the Army veterans who served during World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. Three of those being honored during Tuesday's ceremony at the White House are still alive, all of them combat veterans of Vietnam. And the honors are being awarded after Congress ordered a review to determine whether service members of Jewish or Hispanic heritage or others have been denied the Medal of Honor due to prejudice back in the day originally. So now they say this is why they're changing this. Eight of the 24 fought in Vietnam, nine in Korea, seven in World War II, seven of them in World War II. And then finally, which bravo to those recipients getting the Medal of Honor. And then finally, one last thing. You know, I don't watch this, but you always get updates on these shows. And that Dancing with the Stars, I think, has been around for a very long time. Charlie White, the one of the winning members of the dynamic duo on the ice for the U.S. that won gold, the ice dancing team, he is part of this Dancing with the Stars thing. I always wonder how they decide who they're going to pick. It kind of makes sense, I guess. He won a gold medal, and there's probably still some buzz about him since it's not too far after the Olympics, and he's going to be one of those dancers. The other people, I probably couldn't tell you who half of them are. That's probably part of the reason why I'm not good at doing that reality television thing and watching, because I have no clue. You have to be a big TV watcher to know some of the names of the people who are actually dancing in that thing. All right, stay with us. Much more to come here on this version of America Tonight.
Can you save a ton of money and prepare for emergencies? By having your own in-home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. Now you can cut down on wasted food by freeze drying your leftovers. That's right. Create your own long-term food storage by freeze drying your own fruits, meats, vegetables, even complete meals with the Harvest Right in-home freeze dryer. Imagine the savings and the peace of mind. See how the amazing Harvest Right freeze dryer works at harvestright.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on big pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.
The one of the funniest guys around. He's the author of Why Ireland Never Invaded America. He's an award-winning humorist. He's all about Irish, and he's living in Chicago, where they turn the river green, of all things. So Connor Kinnean is in our virtual green room. We spared no expense. I think we left some Guinness there. Hey, Connor, thanks for coming on the show again.
The virtual green room, I like that phrase. Hi, Kate. Hi to all of your listeners, and happy St. Paddy's Day.
So St. Patrick's Day, here's my question for you. I just was in Dublin a year and a half ago, and the people in Dublin were complaining to me that St. Patrick's Day was just such a hassle there, and they were so disappointed in the things that were happening lately in the last couple of years. So do we do it up bigger here than in places like Dublin, which I find hard to believe?
Probably not anymore, Kate. And I think what has happened is that when I was just a wee lad running around in shorts and pants kind of thing, St. Patrick's Day was a Catholic holiday. And believe it or not, the pubs were shut on St. Paddy's Day in Ireland. So the only way that people could get a drink was either at home, or what they used to really do was they would go around, sneak around to the back of the pub and go in for a few drinks then. But I tell you, that was what they used to happen. The cops kind of turned a blind eye, but theoretically, no pubs were open. And for quite some time, that was the way it ran in Ireland. But over the last 10, 15 years, the kind of American holiday festival has transferred over to Ireland for the St. Paddy's Day period. So now it's become a huge festival in Ireland as well, or spread over a few days rather than the one day kind of Catholic penance and religious fervor that the church tried to impose on us when we were younger.
There you go. I love that thing about the shorts and the no pubs were open and having to sneak around, but now it's changed a little bit. You know, here, of course, it's all about corned beef, and my full name is Catherine Shana Fitzgerald Delaney, so you can imagine my family came over in boats, literally,
right,
and I know it.
You're obviously from Poland or Czechoslovakia, yeah.
Yeah, or Italy. Sometimes people, are you Italian? No, not Italian. So,
right.
But my family did always make corned beef and cabbage. Is that what you did growing up? Did you? Is that the meal you ate in Ireland?
You know, it wasn't. And I had some friends over who were in last week for business related to St. Patrick's Day from Ireland. And I asked one of them, when was the last time you ate corned beef? And she said, I don't think I ate it since I was 2 years of age, kind of thing. And it's one of, I tell people when I do, I do professional speaking. And when I get introduced as a professional speaker, I often say that Conor Cunningham has been force-fed more corned beef than he ever had in Ireland. that's kind of one of the myths that has developed over here, that we kind of eat corned beef for breakfast, dinner, and tea, but it's not really that situation as such.
What are some other big myths do you think that you've seen since now you've been living in America, the misconceptions maybe people have about the Irish?
You know, that's a good question, and as I've been talking to people today, I've been formulating a few thoughts on that. Probably the one that might bug me the most, Kate, is the people perceive that the Irish hate the English. Now, there might be some justification for given what England did to Ireland over 500, 600, 700 years. I mean, they really crucified the country, and that caused a lot of problems, forced a lot of people to emigrate, and you could blame them to some extent for the Irish famine. But today, though, I mean, Irish people do not hate the English. There's a very good rapport between Ireland and England on a business level and on a personal level. And there's a gazillion English and British people come into Ireland every weekend for into Dublin and Cork and Limerick for great parties, etc. And similarly, Irish people go over to England. So that's kind of one of the ones that is a myth that still survives. I'm not saying that some people don't hate the English, but in general, I think the relationship between Ireland and England is very good.
Do you think the other thing that people always say about the Irish is they're very lucky. Do you think that's true?
No, I do not think that is true. one of the Lennon said that if you had the luck of the Irish, you'd be sorry and wish you were dead. Now, that was John Lennon, by the way, that said that. If you had the luck of the Irish, you'd be sorry and wish you were dead. And Lennon's grandfather apparently came from Dublin and emigrated over to Liverpool. But I think, you know, one of the books that I've published is For the Love of Being Irish. And I do limericks, one limerick for each letter of the alphabet and a little bit of history. And L is for luck. And if you bear with me, I'll just read the limerick. And it goes, the Irish are lucky, they say, though history might suggest that the nay. We had the Brits for a while, and they cramped our style, but with them we now work and play.
Very good, I like that.
So, I mean, that kind of, but it definitely when it came to the luck of the Irish, when I hear that phrase, I kind of say, do they not know about the potato famine? Do they not know about all of the immigration and all the various things that happened to Ireland over the years? But the Irish are an upbeat people, as you know. You've got that kind of personality yourself. And I think they've just spread so much around the globe and made a lot of people happy. Furious sometimes, maybe, but happy a lot of the time.
Do you have a favorite place in Ireland? I mean, there's so many wonderful places to go. I said Dublin, and a lot of people land in Dublin and head for other spots, Limerick, Cork, you know, etc. Do you have a favorite spot?
I do any place where they serve a good pint of Guinness, Kate. It's as simple as that. But I suppose their favourite spot would be West Cork and places like County Kerry, Dingle and Kerry, Kenmare, Bantry, etc. in West Cork. I do think that when people go to Ireland, Dublin is a great city, but it's just, that's what it is. It's a great city. And if you're, they've done a lot of cities, Dublin is another city, but with a nice personality, definitely. So I encourage people to go to Cork, Kerry, Galway, etc., where they get some of the older, a more traditional view of Ireland that is still existing in a lot of those places.
Yeah, having just gone there not too long ago, I would agree with that. To me, one of the can't-miss places is, even though people joke about the Blarney Stone, is to go to Blarney Castle, because when you go there, first of all, great Guinness at the cafe down at the bottom, but the grounds are incredible. There was so much I didn't realize about that. I mean, truly, you feel like you're in a fairy tale when you're on the grounds and you look back and you see the castle. Pretty incredible, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And you know, the point about that is, I was talking about when I was going around in short pants a few minutes ago, but when I got on long pants and started, as we would say back in Ireland, courting my wife, and I started walking out with my wife, we used to actually walk from Cork out to Blarney, which is about 3.5 or 4 miles. The things you do, like when you were in love. I still am, mind you, I'm lucky. But so we actually have very nice reminiscence of Ireland. And coincidentally, if you want, the limerick I did for B is B is for Blarney in the book For the Love of Being Irish. And can I give it to you?
I want to hear that one. Yes, please.
Okay. All right. When you kiss the stone in County Cork, you'll be talking on the way to New York, New York. You talk faster and better in a suit or a sweater, whether with chopsticks, a knife, or a fork. Boom.
Boy, so true. Although when you kiss the Blarney Stone, I didn't realize it took two Irish guys to hold you to make sure you didn't fly off the side of the castle.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, it is quite kind of quaint, but it's a great tradition. And as you say, it's a lovely village, and only a few miles from Cork, where I kind of I'm from, or close to Cork. So it's a great spot, and it's one of those places that is, it's one of the things you need to have on your bucket list, definitely.
I absolutely agree. Connor, you're there in Chicago, so with your accent and whatnot, and when you're speaking, do people rush up to you and tell you how much Irish they have in them and where they're from and they're tracing their ancestors? Do you get that a lot?
I do quite a lot, and I mean, the one of the common kind of comments that I might say to people, I'm from County Cork, and you'll get a response like, oh, do you know the O'Sullivans? Or do you know the Delaney's kind of thing? And I mean, Cork is not huge by American standards, but the city is about 150,000 people, and the county might be 300,000, like, but yeah, I mean, it's great to be Irish in America. You're made feel welcome. At this time of the year, it's just an amazing kind of an experience. And I think the Irish have brought a lot to America, but America has given a lot to Ireland as well, genuinely in terms of economic development and things like that.
Yeah, well said. So, Connor, if somebody wants to get either one of your books, how can they do that?
Best way would be to go to Amazon and get them from there, Kate. I've actually got three books there at the moment. The spelling of my name, by the way, Connor, has only one N, because we couldn't afford two N's when I was back in Ireland, when I was being born or christened. But also my website is Irishman Speaks, all one word, Irishman Speaks, and I tweet on Irishman Speaks as well, so I'll be tweeting in a few minutes time that I had a great chat with Kate on America tonight.
Awesome. Connor Kinnean, happy St. Paddy's Day. Thanks so much for coming on ATN.
And to you, Kate, take care. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Take care. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Tonight, kind of like a couple of these new drivers that are overtaking the top leads in NASCAR, the Sprint Cup Series drivers. Anyway, you know, it's all about the points. It seems it's the points in golf, too, the FedEx points. We were talking about a story the other day with a golfer named Sabatini, Rory Sabatini, who coughed so hard he kind of hurt himself, hurt his ribs and whatnot. But he was not getting off that golf course because he needed the points. He needed the points. So he was not moving. I'm not moving. I got to get these points. I got to get through these holes. That's all I can say. And, you know, we look at NASCAR because I know we have a lot of motorheads out there, by the way. You've got Dale Earnhardt Jr. in second place with 153 points 153 points. That's the latest from the series. All right, a lot of you had thoughts on the missing plane and a couple of other things that are rocking the boat here across the United States and beyond our border. So without further ado, let's check the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Larry, who says, Kate, did you ever think of the whole cell phone thing? What do you believe? If they were hijacking the plane, did they ask everybody to turn their cell phones in and put them in a bag or whatever, threw them somewhere in the galley? It seems so odd, this whole kidnapping idea to me. It seems more realistic that there is an intentional grounding of the plane, but then there isn't any wreckage to find, but the Indian Ocean is deep and very, very long. I think you said it. Nothing but questions. And everywhere I turn and all of the talking heads, it's the same thing. Nobody knows a darn thing when it comes to this missing 777. Very strange indeed. My vote, by the way, is for terrorism. I think there was something up with that pilot and the co-pilot, and I believe that plane actually turns up somewhere. Yeah, turning up somewhere, though. That's the whole vagueness of it. Well, there's all these islands, and there's all these possibilities that they could have landed the plane. They could have landed the plane in one of those islands somewhere on the Indian Ocean. Of course, there's that possibility. But now, everybody and anyone is tracking this. I don't know, it's crazy. I said this already. Here's what I hope at this point, with all the speculation, oh, I'm an expert and this person is an expert, I've seen every talking head aviation expert you can possibly imagine. And at the end, they always say, these are some possibilities. It doesn't mean this is what happened. I hope for the sake of the people where they had brothers, sisters, cousins, you know, husbands, fathers, I hope mothers, aunts, uncles, you know, whatever the relationship was. I hope for the sake of the people that there is some sort of closure, because that would be a weird limbo thing. It would be a terrible thing. You think of losing loved ones and how gut-wrenching it can be. Somebody told me one time to be there for a birth and to be there as the loved one draws their last breath is a miracle, is an amazing thing and something that should be treasured. But what if you have no clue about what happened? That would be the worst. I used to think about that with the missing kids, because I remember when I was a kid, they were doing the whole milk carton thing, and you'd see these oftentimes cherubic faces of these kids, and you think, oh, you read the like story on the back about how long they were missing and when was they were last seen. It's just awful. And in a different way, it's, you know, the randomness of life. You step on this plane and then you don't step off that plane. So I hope we find out what it is. Okay, there's another interest in obviously the Malaysian flight. Bill in Illinois. Hey, Kate, this is the third or fourth time, I think, that I've emailed the show. A 777 is so big. I think of the engines and I think of what went into that from Boeing. And I find it just so hard to believe that there are no clues. I think that there's something that they're not telling us. I don't know the specifics of what that could be, but I believe it's related to terrorism because they're trying to put a lid on that part of it. And the Brits have uncovered a lot of information since this is kind of in their bailiwick, if you know what I mean, with the pilots, the pilot and the co-pilot. I think that's, in the end, what we're going to come up with, something related to some form of terrorism. I've been talking about this throughout these last couple of shows, and it's, if I were taking a guess, a stab at it too, and you said, okay, here's the choices. It's a hijacked plane, pilots committed suicide, plane just had a horrible misfortune and went off radar, was shut down, whatever, and then went out, or it was terrorism. Well, I'm going to vote for terrorism based on the information that's out there. And by the way, there's not much information you can get other than if you were in Malaysia trying to dig around all over the place with these pilots and whatnot. It's tighter than a drum. So I do think that there is info that's not out there that they're investigating. And who are the best investigators with this? Well, that would be the United States because we have the better equipment. Some of you have even called the show to say that. Jeff is listening to us in Washington. By the way, if you want to comment, even though we're on the mailbag segment, you can certainly do that. 855-266-5283. Hey, Jeff, what do you think it is?
You know, I'm not really sure, Kate, but I just wanted to kind of jump in on it. It kind of boggles me how, you know, we've got this whole NSA thing spying on all the Americans all over the country and possibly all over the world. Why couldn't the NSA just kind of track down some cell phones? I'm sure these people on that plane had a cell phone or two. But I was kind of also wondering the same thing when this first thing happened was who was on the plane, you know? Have they released a full list of passengers to tell us who exactly was all on the plane?
They've released the nationalities. They've released information about people of interest on the plane, like the American who worked for IBM, and his family has spoken out and how they're worried, and his girlfriend has spoken out and that kind of stuff. As far as who else was on the plane, like the passports, the bogus passports, they've talked about that. And, of course, the pilots, the information on the pilots about their, you know, rabid one of them, the rabid connection to a terrorist and to a plot, a Malaysian airliner plot, and then this happens. So it makes you really think, well, okay, you've got a snitch reporting from an Al-Qaeda snitch reporting that this was something that he knew was happening or could happen because he heard it through the rumor mill, and then look what happens.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of with all the technology we have nowadays, and planes don't just disappear. There had to have been some kind of foul play, you know.
Yeah, that's what I think.
It's just there's no other option, you know.
Yeah.
I've heard some opinions of people thinking, oh, well, maybe a giant UFO picked them up out of the sky. Well, that seems to be the only other option I could think of, and I don't really want to go with that one.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't want to go with that one, Jeff. I'm not ready for that. I love sci-fi, and I love talking about it, and I love watching a lot of the National Geographic stuff, and we could go deep on this topic, and even watching a lot of the movies, but I don't want to really think about it. I'm with you, Jeff, great caller as always. So it's like he says, well, if the NSA can pick up all the things that they're picking up on us, for goodness sake, couldn't they jump on this information? They certainly could jump on the information, but are they involved in this? You know, there's some connections that we are loose connections that we don't know about. And the U.S. is heavily, heavily involved in the search, certainly with our ships and planes and knowledge and whatnot. I just hope they come up with something soon because time is more than ticking. We're into our second week. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. Herbalhealer.com, working with the power of nature.